Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
This is hilarious to me. Jordan Peterson, he's like this anti-snowflake guy, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about who this guy is, because I've heard he's a Canadian right-winger, speech-giving kind of guy.
I don't know much about him, except he's one of these people like Ben Shapiro, right?
That's what I think of, and I've never listened to him talk just based on the people who have said, oh, I think that you would like listening to Jordan Peterson. I've been like, oh, so he's like Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, he's just this sort of middle-aged men rights activist, you know. He's like a lightweight version of Christopher Cantwell, I would argue. And I mean a lightweight version. I don't mean he's a Nazi or anything like that. I just, he's in that same exact direction, just not going nearly as far as Christopher Cantwell would. Well, he has now quit Twitter after getting into an argument with a large portion of Twitter about Yumi News Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover, saying that she's not beautiful. Now, this is a heavier woman who evidently was the cover model for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, which is
one of four.
There were four different cover models.
Different covers. This isn't unusual for Sports Illustrated to have more than one cover model.
Well, I think the most woke part about this is that it is Sports Illustrated. If it was Vogue or something like that, I don't think it'd be as much of a conversation, or I think it'd be a lot stupider for anybody to care. But it's just like it's this constant agenda of you can be fat and healthy, and you can't.
No, you can't be fat and healthy. I do take issue with the presenting heavyweightness or obesity or being overweight as a matter of health, because it's not. It's distinctly unhealthy. However, I don't take issue with them using models that are not conventionally attractive, because there is sort of, I wouldn't want to use the word crisis, but there is an issue where, you know, teen girls on Instagram, they're being fed false images of people like Kim Kardashian, and they're being misled to believe that if they have any blemishes or any imperfections whatsoever, then they have to become bulimic, starve themselves, or whatever.
I agree with you there. And then, of course, you've got the filters, which make that matter even worse.
Yeah, people wear filters on their face, like YouTubers I follow or something that I like, and I'm like, wait, it shows you what filter they're using. You can click on it and put
always.
It on your own face. And
not if they've done
on Instagram stories, yes. But on the Instagram stories, you can see what filters they're using from the stories if they made it from there. And I'll put it on my face and be like, whoa, that's not what they look like at all. Now, I mean, I like when you can see that, but a lot of times you can't see it and you just assume, wow, they're really pretty.
There was evidently a time where someone with the body of this Asian model, Yumi Nu, would have been considered beautiful or sexy, while someone who was on the skinnier side, like Bonnie, you use yourself as an example, or would not have been.
I don't know. I think that's fake
yeah,
news.
Hold
up. The reality is there's different preferences out there, and there always have been. There have always been men who've been attracted to skinny people, and there have always been men who've been chubby chasers, for lack of a better term, attracted to bigger women. And
I know some chubby chasers.
Yeah, and great. You know, I'm glad for that, because there's somebody out there for everybody. And this whole conversation is really interesting, because it shows on both sides how unhealthy people really are. There's the unhealthiness of the obsession with perfection and this sort of unattainable ideal of perfection, because that's the thing with perfection is you can never reach it, right? Whether you're trying to make a video that you're editing the perfect video, or you're trying to make your face.
Are you saying
perfect
I'm not perfect?
Face. You're very lovely and perfect for me, Bonnie. But whether you're trying to perfect yourself, I mean, look at all these people that keep doing plastic surgeries, right? Like they're addicted to plastic surgery. They're never satisfied with how they look. There's always the next thing, and then they end up this crazy freak that looks nothing like a human being at the end of it. You know, like, have you seen the Bogdanoff twins?
No one's body shaming you because you're fat, or because you're overweight, or because your eyes are too close together. Well, that's not an issue of their health or whatever. But because you look ugly in glasses, we're informing you that, hey, driving without your glasses because you don't think they're pretty is dangerous and it's probably going to shorten your life. Just like walking around with 40 or 50 excess pounds on you is probably going to shorten your life.
Or 150.
Yeah. Sorry, not beautiful, and no amount of authoritarian tolerance is going to change that, is what Dr. Jordan B. Peterson said.
It's about this woman in Sports Illustrated.
Now, what he's referring to here is this idea that people can, you know, that magazines, the media, people like Sports Illustrated, they can, you know, by fiat declare that this woman is beautiful and everyone else must agree.
And if you say that she looks gross, then you get canceled.
Yes. And she doesn't look gross. I mean, and this is where I disagree with him. She's absolutely beautiful. She's just not sexy. And I don't know, maybe most people don't draw a distinction there, but I absolutely would.
I'm not going to say she's beautiful. I get the point that you're making about she has a pretty face.
Yeah.
But the rest of her is not attractive in any way, shape, or form.
That's true.
But, and that's just to you guys and also me. But I know some people that are like into bigger girls, so it is in the eye of the beholder, but don't try to force everyone to think that it's beautiful.
Apparently, where they're getting this is people saying, I'm a huge fan of yours, but I have to disagree. So some of these comments were from people claiming to be fans of his, but that doesn't necessarily mean they
anything.
Were fans. And, if, you know, he initially attempted to fight back against this blowback that he got from, you know, attempting to essentially bully this woman on the internet. Rage away, panderers, and tell me you believe that such images are not conscious and cynical manipulation by the oh-so-virtuous politically correct.
I'm not going to say that this was bullying in any way, shape, or form. He posted
I'm using
this
that word for
profile.
A specific reason, though.
Okay. I mean, if he had gone to her account and sent her a message or tagged her or something saying, boy, you sure are a big old whale or something like that and was really rude, then that would be bullying.
I don't know. He posted it publicly.
Yeah, but he didn't tag her.
He has significantly more followers than she does, I'm sure.
Well, it's just posting an opinion. That's
yeah,
all it is.
But the range of what they can influence with their opinions are probably wildly different.
I don't know if you can influence somebody by posting an opinion to change their viewpoint on what they consider to be attractive.
Probably not.
Well, then if you can't, then his whole argument is invalid because he's saying this is all an agenda to make men think that fat people are hot. Ben Shapiro got himself in a big spat with everyone when he made fun of the Cardi B song, WAP.
I remember that, yes.
And people were claiming that...
Which we cannot say what that stands for, by the way.
I won't, but people were saying, Ben Shapiro, you're just mad because you don't know what that means. Or you don't have any personal experience with that and all this stuff. But it's basically the same thing.
And we can't really talk about how that whole thing played out. But the whole time, he just kept digging that grave deeper and deeper for himself to the extent where it was just sad watching it play out.
But this guy, he kind of makes his image based on attacking the left, attacking wokeism, right? So
yes.
From that perspective, it's understandable why he highlighted this particular news story and wanted
sure.
to share an opinion
but
about
it. But it makes it even more sad that he couldn't take the insults,
yeah,
the constant
no
insults
doubt.
And
well,
deleted
this is
his
typical,
Twitter.
Right? We've seen this so many times where the people on the right who make a point of calling the left snowflakes, they themselves are also snowflakes. And we've seen this time and time again.
I don't remember who said it, but I first heard it from Will Coley back on the days that we did Call to Freedom. And he said, you know, left wing and right wing snowflakes melt at the same temperature. and that's
so true.
And that temperature seems to be, you know, any amount of dissent whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm sort of surprised to find that Sports Illustrated is even still a magazine because we are... I hate saying it, but it is 2022, and print media has been dying more or less my entire life.
Yeah, it was dying off prior to COVID, and of course, things got even worse for them during COVID because, well, people weren't leaving their homes to go to the newsstand, if any newsstands actually exist in their town anymore, to purchase a physical copy of something. But interestingly, I
do occasionally buy a physical copy of the paper, but it's only like when one of us is mentioned in it.
Yeah.
And also when you need to paint.
Yeah,
that's true. I forgot about that.
2019. So there's a story here from Newsweek in 2019. I just wanted to go and look because I thought to myself, Well, how many subscribers does Sports Illustrated even still have? Because we've seen magazines have been hemorrhaging subscribers as people who are willing to read a physical copy of a thing die off. Literally.
No, we can't include doctors or dentist offices in their subscriber numbers. Because I think that's probably 90% of their subscriber numbers.
Maybe. But according to Newsweek, prior to COVID in 2019, Sports Illustrated had 2.75 million subscribers.
That is eerily similar to the number of followers Jordan Peterson has on Twitter, actually. He had 2.7 million.
People magazine, probably one of the most recognizable magazines, right? Anybody who's ever been through a cash register, a checkout.
That's one of these celebrity mags, right?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been around for 48 years, People Magazine, and it's always been, like Sports Illustrated was, a weekly thing. And now they are probably going to get rid of the print edition, at least the weekly version of People Magazine.
Yeah, I just assumed it was a monthly thing. When I see a magazine, I assume it's a monthly thing just because it's so impractical to have it done weekly. But, you know, someone once got me a subscription to People Magazine. I never paid attention to how often I was throwing these away. I imagine they were trolling me or something. It happened when I ran for sheriff. I just started receiving people's magazines in the mail.
Weird.
Yeah. I never signed up for them. They were addressed to me, right? It was clear. It wasn't a mistake, but I never read any of them.
Did you get like a year's subscription? And then...
It had to have been about a year's subscription. Yeah. I haven't gotten one in a long time, I don't think. But like I said, I never paid attention to how often I was throwing these away anyway, because I'm not going to read this crap. Thank you, I guess, to whoever got me the subscription. If it was meant to be a gesture of kindness, thank you for the materials to burn.
You don't strike me as a celebrity gossip type.
No, it's very peculiar. It's hard to even talk about Fox News because these old mainstream media sites, that they were smart enough to realize that they had to get on the internet. They had to create a web presence.
Yep.
So there is a Fox News website. There's a Fox News YouTube channel. They have all of that stuff. So they weren't too late. But their number of followers is laughable compared, because we looked into this once before, where Fox News would have a few million followers or whatever. Other people would have, 10 million. I don't even think Fox News has a million followers on YouTube.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, and it was something that I saw earlier today. Elon Musk, of course, has been, for those that haven't been paying attention to what's been happening with his alleged or supposed acquisition of Twitter, he's put that on hold. He said, well, we're not moving forward with this $43 billion purchase until Twitter can give us some firm numbers about how many bots there actually are on Twitter. Twitter's saying, oh, no, it's less than 5%. Musk is saying it's probably more like at least 20%. Others have said it may be as high as 50%. Somebody did an audit.
It probably depends on how they define bots, right? Because... Mm-hmm. For the longest time, my Twitter account was just being updated by my Telegram account. I would post something to Telegram, and it would send it out to, my Facebook page and my Twitter and all of these other, and my Mastodon. So would that qualify as a bot account?
Well, were you going on Twitter, too, and interacting with people?
No.
Then it sounds like a bot to me.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I was turned on to another handy little Twitter tool that somebody invented today when I saw someone reporting that they put Joe Biden's profile into this tool, and apparently he's got like 22 million followers on Twitter. But the tool is a website called SparkToro.
See, I don't think Joe Biden should be allowed on Twitter if Donald Trump isn't allowed on Twitter.
I see what you're saying there, but it's probably not even Joe Biden. It's probably somebody in his office.
That's true. It was definitely Donald Trump.
Don't they pass down the Twitter account to the next president? Because it's literally at POTUS.
Yeah, so there's two. He has two accounts. One is at POTUS, which is owned presumably by the government, the federal government gang, and then there is his own personal account. But somebody, I presume it was the POTUS account they put into it because they said it had 22 million followers. and his POTUS account does have that. But they put it into this website called SparkToro, SparkToro, that claims to be able to determine what amount of your follower count is fake. How many people who are following you are actually not people at all, but are, as they describe it here, accounts that are unreachable and will not see the account's tweets, either because they are spam, bots, propaganda, etc., or because they're just no longer active on Twitter. And they put his account in there and found that 50% of his 22 million followers were considered to be fake followers.
You remember about 3 weeks ago I called in, I gave you guys a heads up on the birth of this Ministry of Disinformation business?
Yes.
All right. Well, guess what? It's pretty much been shot in the head and buried.
I saw that on Drudge Report today, where it's been closed. The person who was heading it up has resigned, and there was never any direction from the White House apparently about what they were supposed to be doing. So,
well, the lion skank that they put in charge of it is probably the biggest minister of misinformation that there ever has been.
Well, I heard she resigned, and I heard also that they've quote unquote paused the department.
Exactly. It's not been shot in the head, but I'm pretty sure they're digging the hole.
Well, governments never close programs that they like, right? They're not going to, when all this COVID nonsense goes away, they're not going to close their contact tracing departments. They're just going to pause them or shuffle them around temporarily, repurpose them for something else.
Yeah, or use them in the future for something even worse.
Otherwise, the government would get smaller, and that's the opposite of what government is inclined to do.
Somebody would lose their job.
When you look at Elon Musk's account, he's one of the top 10, I would say, on all of Twitter now, and he's had quite a few more people join since he's announced he's buying the company. Now with over 93 million followers, 70.2% of them are fake, according to this.
Well,
that sort of makes sense.
Like crypto things always comment in all his comment sections. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be like, buy SafeMoon or join SafeMoon. I don't know what SafeMoon is. I just know it sounds bad.
Yeah,
if they're using a bot to promote their cryptocurrency, it has all of the cryptocurrency credibility of John McAfee saying, buy this coin.
It's worse than that. They always have like a picture of a K-pop star. So it's like the K-pop bots, which is a huge thing on Twitter. Like anytime you insult a K-pop star, you'll get K-pop bots that come in, like roast you or whatever. And like, anyways, it has like a K-pop. This is what I see all the time. A K-pop star profile picture and people promoting SafeMoon. And that just makes me think I'm going to run away from that.
Yeah. Any cryptocurrency promoting itself as quote unquote safe seems about as good of a buy to me as the car dealers promoting themselves as honest. It's like, stay away from that.
Sarah, I have played $3,000 guitars and I have played $100 guitars. And I got to tell you, both of them make noise.
Well, I have no idea, but I never tried it. But anyways,
she tried that $100 hearing aid, is my point.
Yeah,
it could be true. It might not be true.
My grandma is no rich person. She lives off of her monthly or retirement paycheck, and she has hearing aids. She's not rich. She did not pay $3,000 for them. She said that they're so powerful, she doesn't like to wear them because she can hear the ceiling fan going. And I could see that being annoying, but it's way more annoying to have to scream at her. So I could see where you're coming from, Sarah, having to yell at Richard.
What were you calling about tonight?
Yes. So last year, we have like the highest traffic auto-related fatalities in 16 years.
43,000. You know, Sarah, I saw this story a few days ago and I put it in my show prep folder. Yes. And I said, there's no point in me bringing this in a show prep. Eventually, Sarah is going to call in and bring it up. And sure enough, thank you, Sarah, for calling in and bringing it. See, I even closed out of it. But I know what you're talking about here. It's like 43,000 or something like that is the number of car fatalities throughout the United States throughout the last year, which is the largest that we've seen in like 16 years or something like that.
Well, does New Mexico have the largest? Is that what she was saying? Or just America?
Wasn't it in America? That's the country data for the last year.
You may remember I called in a month or so ago about a book called Nuclear War Survival Skills. Remember that?
Yeah, I was on.
So it's this guy who sort of wrote, he wrote the sort of the Bible of nuclear war survival back in mostly in the 80s, or, you know, some of it in the 90s, some of it in the 70s. Kristen Carney. He died in the early 2000s, I believe. But before he did, he sort of created a, he kind of almost created a movement because his book was sufficiently brilliant and it sort of undermined the narrative that everybody's going to die, right? And the, sort of the mantle of his expertise has been picked up by a guy named Shane Connor. And Connor is taking a little bit more of an evangelical approach to it. He's sort of like an evangelist trying to spread the word. Like he sees a crowd of 100 people and he thinks, oh, I can save 90 of them. So, and, you know, 90%, his motto is 90% of the casualties that we'll suffer in a nuclear war, if we have one, will be 100% preventable.
So what you're saying is getting something in between you and the potential fallout. And when you say something, that would be like the walls of a house.
Yeah, better a basement than a house. Mm-hmm. Better a big house than a small one. Mm-hmm. Better a deep basement than a shallow one. And if you have buckets of water, you can put those between you and you know any windows in the basement and stuff like that. Those are really useful. And a lot of the radiation comes through your roof. And you know, people who are really serious about it, they'll do stuff, you know, between them and the roof.
People in Florida are screwed because they don't have basements.
Hmm.
Well, what you want to do is move to the most interior room, the most middle room,
like get in the bathtub,
floor,
basically. If you got a middle
the lowest
bathroom.
Floor in the house, and put water between you and wherever the fallout is. Yeah,
and just wait a couple days
for
it to be over.
Anything that's heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not going to work everywhere, right? In some places, it's going to be so much radioactivity that it's going to come through too many windows or through your roof
or whatever.
Yeah,
if you're close to the blast, right? The closer you are to the blast, the more dangerous, right?
What Crescent Carney did was he would always – he recommended building an outdoor shelter, an expedient shelter just with a shovel, which can be done by a human in 48 hours. But – he said, if you're not going to do that, then at least in your basement, you want to have that water. And he would construct water in boxes so that you could put a box over your head.
So they say it's a stretch to link the U.S. Army to witchcraft, but that's happening in response to an eerie recruitment video shared on YouTube by Fort Bragg's 4th Psychological Operations Group, Airborne. That is a hell of a name for a group.
Why are they a psychological group?
Because they do psyops.
Hmm.
They're psychological operations. That's what they do.
All Airborne is like 101st Airborne is that
division of
the 4th Psychological Operations Group Airborne. I'm not a military person, so I don't know what that
really
means.
Really confusing.
I just know it's a group within the U.S. military that clearly does psychological ops.
Hmm.
The video is titled "Ghosts in the Machine," and it feels like a movie trailer. That's accurate. It does feel like you're watching a movie trailer, at least at first. And it comes with no explanation other than all the world's a stage. Join us. It was posted on May the 2nd. It starts innocently with benign clips of cartoons and images of empty city streets and subways. But the vibe grows increasingly disturbing with footage of a shadowy man anxiously staring at dark skies, violent riot scenes, and soldiers being deployed. Have you ever wondered who's pulling the strings? The video asks. You'll find us in the shadows at the tip of the spear. Anything we touch is a weapon. We can deceive, persuade, change, influence, inspire. We come in many forms. We are everywhere.
Creepy.
They come out with imagery that millions of people watch, and a lot of the times, unrelated artists just have the same imagery over and over again. Why do you do so many of them just cover one eye? Why is that just a thing that looks cool and everybody thinks that looks cool? No, they must be connected in some way. So many of them have the same exact, like, if you have read Vigilant Citizen as long as I have, it's like you'll be reading his new article and you'll be like, oh, did they have a goat head pop up at this? Yep, they had a goat head pop up at that point. It's just ridiculous how obviously in the same club people in the music industry are, and they you know, come up with the same exact stories that they tell over and over. That's all really occultism is. It's, I mean, not all of occultism, but what what the people call occult symbols in our culture is basically just people using symbols to tell an allegory over and over and over again. That's what the Lady Gaga, so many people that I really like have these symbols. And it doesn't mean they're evil either. Like, that's another thing I think that is misunderstood. Symbols are just a tool. And these allegories that have been passed down, like the story of Jesus is just the same exact story as Hiram Abiff, the same exact story as lots of other gods right. that have been killed. It's just an allegory.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.